Good morning. So how are you today? Outstanding, right? Yeah, that's good. Whatever you declare, it will be. Last Sunday, I tried to share with you, experience the reality of power of the Holy Spirit. Please underline the reality. We know, we heard of the Holy Spirit, we probably know some of the truth, but do we have the reality? Today I will continue to share with you about a glorious church, and that church could be our church if we really have the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. I know we live in a very challenging time. Yesterday I watched the news, on the ISIS behead another person, so it just, you can see this present evil right in front of your eyes. Also, we face each person face a lot of pressing needs and difficulty in life. This past Wednesday, Joy Cell Group very kindly tried to celebrate my birthday. We went to the Sizzler because I require that. I want a healthy food. And it's amazing. I not try to complain. It's so amazing. Before I went, there are three or four things going on. All of them are challenging. In human perspective, maybe negative thing. Through the texting to me about this, about that, So when I arrive there, I say, oh, sorry, I'm late. Because I try to respond. There was never a time I feel I need a counsel of the Holy Spirit, wisdom from the Lord, I think we live in a time we really need the reality of power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, no matter what the situation you're facing right now, the news you have heard, maybe not the way you expect, take heart. The Lord care for you. And listen to today's message. We'll encourage you in the practical way you can apply and you can overcome. So who is the Holy Spirit? Can someone tell me? Who or what is the Holy Spirit? Many people thought Holy Spirit is a magic power. You just say, hey, Holy Spirit, he will show up, help you. Like that fairy tale, right? It's called Aladdin Lamp, right? It's a genie. They thought Holy Spirit like genie. Whenever you ask him with a magic formula, he will show up, help you. So that's not true. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, right? You guys know that, right? So today in my message, first of all, I want to share some key understanding about the truth of the Holy Spirit. Some understanding. In other words, there are some misunderstanding. The number one I want to share is operating the power of the Holy Spirit is not certain Christian camp denominations privilege. It's for all the believer. Dear brothers and sisters, it's for everyone. I think in the last 7 to 10 years, I have been involved in the networking and uniting the Chinese Christian believers, churches to pray together. So I kind of exposed to the politics. Maybe you say the politics or reality in the Christian world. I just realized quite often due to the our subjectivity and the smallness, our territorial spirit, Christians tend to label each other or themselves based upon their theological emphasis and tradition. They like to label each other. So that's why we have so-called fundamentalist, evangelical, Bible-believing, charismatic, Pentecostal, mainline denomination, etc., etc. But the reality is, whatever you try to label yourself, label other people, without the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing will happen. You understand that? It doesn't matter. You say, oh, we are Bible-believing church, but without the work of the Spirit, nothing will happen. Dear brother and sister, you cannot convince a person to convert him to believe in Jesus. Amen? It's work of the Spirit enlighten that person. Without the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit, no mission work can be done. No church can be established. It doesn't matter you're fundamentalist or Pentecostal. It doesn't matter. It's operating in power of the Holy Spirit. It's not certain Christians' camp or denominations' privilege. It's for all the believers, for you and me. I think that's very important. That's the number one we need to know. So it doesn't matter. You know, I try to unite a Chinese church to pray, and they say, what church you come from? I say, Bread of Light. Oh, Pentecostal. They label me right away. I just tell you something. And that they have an East Bay expository Bible teaching event every year. It's a United joint church. And one of our pastor, you know, from our this joint, we have five or six church, Chinese church, pray together. This is the fourth year, every Thursday. One of the pastor, and then he tried to introduce me. He said, hey, Pastor Joe is very good. He has a giving United Church. I said, which church is a Bread of Light? Oh, no. This is Pentecostal. They're too extreme. Cannot let him come in. So, you know, all the times we, our smallness and our limitation, we exclude people. But itself already hindered the work of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes to draw people together in unity. Amen? So it doesn't matter. You're Bread of Life, you're Lutheran, you're Methodist, you're Presbyterian church. If you don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing will happen. Number two, I'd like to share with you the key understanding is knowing the mission of the Holy Spirit is very helpful. If you know the mission of the Holy Spirit, will motivate you, will be moving force that you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think I found out this, the number two and number three, the point I'm going to share with you. I'm going to share with the Chinese leaders about this, how we can unite the Chinese church. Because they label the Pentecostal, this and that. That only shows they don't understand the truth. There's no such thing. We all same church, the same truth. The number two I want to share with you, if you know the mission of the Holy Spirit, will be so helpful you want to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because one of the mission of the Holy Spirit is to help you to know Jesus Christ, make Jesus Christ so real to you. Let's face it. Have you any one of you have ever seen Jesus in real, in physical sense? You don't. All we know about Jesus from the Bible, right? It's all recorded in the Bible. That was 2,000 years ago. So where is Jesus right now? Based upon Bible, where is Jesus? Right here. You're right. But also, he's in the heaven next to the Father. You read the Bible. He's right here through the presence of the Spirit, bring the reality. So I think it's very important to know what's the mission. Who is the person of the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Godhead. But one of his mission is make Jesus so real to you and me, is to make us to know Jesus and glorify Jesus. So it's very easy, dear brother and sister. When you say, I don't like those extreme, you know, Pentecostal or whatever, if a person comes to you, always say, I'm filled with the Spirit. You know, I'm very anointed. Not anointed, very anointed. A person come to you, hey, you know, I'm big shot, you know, I'm full of spirit, I can see vision, I have dreams. However, this person life doesn't glorify Jesus. Just don't worry about him. Just ignore this person. If you know the truth about the mission of the Holy Spirit is to exalt Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to make Jesus more known to you, then you understand. If a person really filled with the Holy Spirit, he will be a person to exalt Jesus, not himself. Amen? Someone come to, you know, I'm a prophet, you know, I can. Yeah, we do have people have prophetic gift, but what's the purpose? Is to make Jesus known. Amen? To hear what I say today. So don't be confused. But if you know the mission, one of the mission of Holy Spirit is to make Jesus known to you, you have intimacy with him, you can really sense his presence, you can start to imitate his character, it'll be helpful for your discipleship, then you want to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Without him, you cannot know Jesus. Thirdly, I want to share with you key understandings. God the Son is the key to know the person, mission of the Holy Spirit. I think this is so important. Our God's triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the key person to know triune God is God the Son. Because we can never see God the Father. You go to the Old Testament. Whoever see God the Father will be killed. Not because he loved to kill, but because he's holy. Even God the Father told Moses, you cannot see my face. If you see my face, you'll be dead. You only can see my back. Interesting. I just wonder, how does God's back look like? God, the Father, is totally holy, so nobody can see him. So nobody can see, so we never can see God the Father. But the Bible says that God the Son manifests God the Father, right? In the Gospel of John, you go there. Jesus told that. That's the Jewish leader. They never can get this. What this guy talking about? You see the Son, you see the Father. You see me, you see the God the Father. They say, this is blasphemy. We're going to stone him. You see that dialogue between the Jewish leader and Jesus is really ridiculous. They talk to each other in a different channel. But Jesus said that clearly. No one have ever seen the Father, but I reveal him. So the key is to know Jesus. If you know the God the Son, you will know God the Father. Then we come to the third person. Well, I already said earlier, one of the third person Holy Spirit job is to make Jesus known. So isn't that wonderful? So the key is to know Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Because Holy Spirit's job is to make him known. So you love Jesus so much, Holy Spirit will say, okay, I will fill you. I'll make Jesus known to you. So the key is the God the Son. Fourthly, I will share with you, in order to know, love Jesus, and serve him mightily, filled with the Holy Spirit is a must, not optional. That's so obvious. That's come out that. Okay, so I'll go to the second point. Well, my sermon today is we want to examine a glorious church. A lot of people say, Pastor Joseph, a glorious church is very vague words. Today we can see it. It's not vague. It's really glorious. When you know there's a church like that, you like to join that church. Hopefully that will be our church. Amen? Maybe after this message, you'll know what the glorious church means. I believe this church, it's our model, it's our inspiration, you know, inspire. You know, I really appreciate Irene and Ricky, you guys, faithfully to lead the worship every Sunday. I want to tell you, we gather here, even though we don't have that many people, but do you know this is very precious? Do you know this building, the person designed, he had intention this to be a church. Look at this design. Does this look like church? This look like prayer center, right? This the prayer go up. Do you know that? In God's sovereignty, our landlord's father, he graduated from Cal. He majored in architect. He designed this building. And his wife say, my desire is this building one day will be a church. That being fulfilled. Before, this building rarely have any worship and praise here. Right now, this building, at least three times a week, they worship and praise here. That's very precious, dear brother and sister. That will change the spiritual atmosphere in this area. Do you know that? So don't overlook that. Now I want to share with you about this glorious church. We go back to Book of Acts, chapter 1. Some people say, oh, Pastor Joseph, here come again. You always say that. Well, because that's very important. Do you know how the church start? How many of you know how did the first church start? Do you know? How did it start? It started with a prayer meeting. Do you know that? 10 days prayer meeting. I tell you, it's very important to know and believe that Jesus has raised from the dead. In the book of Acts chapter 1, after Jesus had raised from the dead, he appeared, make himself known to many people throughout 40 days. Is that important? It's not just one day, 2 days. So 40 days, he make himself known. And the proof he is alive. And in those occasions, in one occasion, Jesus commanded them, they don't leave Jerusalem. Just wait for my Father's promise that you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Another occasion, that's the last occasion, he told them, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you'll be empowered to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So after that, Jesus was taken to heaven. You know, like Chinese fairy tale, 嫦娥, right? Moon festival. 嫦娥 also went to heaven, but 嫦娥 didn't go too far. She only reached moon. The different explanation. One say he and she and her husband have a good love. She loved her husband so much, so she doesn't want to go too far. Isn't that interesting? That put the marital relationship into the fairy tales. Another is say the pill only can bring her so far. But the difference is 嫦娥 went to moon is just a fairy tale. But Jesus went back to heaven was real. And when all the disciples, they were watching Jesus, wow. And the two angels say, Galilean, why do you watch Jesus leaving? You should move on. You should return to Jerusalem because this Jesus will return. So they went back to Jerusalem. They went to the upper room. They went to the room. I've been there, you know, when I went to Jerusalem. And it's a room pretty dark. They were there. They were praying. They start about maybe 15 people. The Bible says they were 11 apostles plus few women who followed Jesus plus Jesus' mom and Jesus' brothers. They will pray together in one heart. And then the number grow to 120. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came is so real, so powerful. It shook the whole house. It shook the whole Jerusalem. In reality, in spiritual realm, it shook the whole Jerusalem. That's why there were about 5,000 to 10,000 people came to the upper room, surround the upper room, and Peter started to explain to them, what does this mean? When Peter started to explain, then we realized, actually the last days started 2,000 years ago. Right now is the last day of the last days. The last days start from 2,000 years ago. Because Peter said, this fulfilled the book of Joel about in the last days, the Spirit of the Lord will fill all people. And that's what happened. This 120, they all filled with the Holy Spirit. They start to speak Shanghainese, Cantonese, all other language. And those God-fearing Jews say, wow, they speak our language. So that's how the first church start. And we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. This church has six outstanding traits. Number one, consists of truly born-again believer. This is very important. Dear brother and sister, a church may have a lot of people, but we need to know how many of them really, really born again, really have Christ's life in them. That's very important. Amen? It's not a performance. It's a true life in there. And we read Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were, after Peter explained to them, what does this mean and imply? When the people, the crowd heard this, they were cut to heart and say to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise for you and your children, and for all who are far off, including Chinese, including American, very far away. They were in Jerusalem, right? So that thing is not only for them, for the people all over the world. Praise the Lord. Is that fulfilled, right? So the gospel continued to preach to the Greek, to the Gentile, to the Jews, to the Chinese, to American, all races. Until today, it reached Asia. They're going to brought back to Jerusalem, complete the Great Commission. But those people who listened to Peter's explanation, after that Peter exhorted them with many words, they received his teaching and been baptized. How many people were baptized that day? 3,000. Isn't that great church growth? From 120 to 3,120. So it's not just the number, it's the quality. They are truly born again. And then we see the second trace. They devote to the right things. What have they been devote? Acts chapter 2, 42. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. In other words, they devote themselves to the Word of God, to the fellowship. Dear brothers and sisters, it seems like you examine the typical American church today. It's very different from this first church. Today, American church devote themselves to the program. And we need to have a very good program. They devote to the parking lot. We need to have big parking lot so people can have a place to park. They devote to the building, to the budget, to the staff. But look at the first church, the glorious church. They devote to the apostles' teaching. That's referred to the Word of God. They devote to God's teaching. They devote to one another, the fellowship. I look at that. I look at our church. Well, in certain way, we're not doing too bad. You know, I'm not trying to exalt certain group, but I cannot help to tell you, we have a cell group called the Joy Cell Group. If you are lacking joy, you should join that cell group. I haven't seen a cell group, a fellowship. I've been pastor for so many years. I rarely seen a fellowship, a cell group like that. They are so happy. Say, Pastor Joseph, how do you know that? Because my office is at the corner of this building, right? Across the hallway of the men's bathroom. That's my office. My office right next to the bathroom. Very convenient if you want to go to the bathroom. Every Wednesday when I sit in my office, I open my door because summertime is hot. I heard the laughter from this room, right next to it. This room. They talk very loud. They laugh. They ha, 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 ha. Continue. Wow. You know, when I heard it, I just cannot help. I want to go there to see what they're talking about. Why they are so joyful. You know, dear brother and sister, smile at your neighbor. Say, be joyful. Cheer up. The situation is not that bad. They laugh so loud. The one that represented there. Cindy laughs so loud. Ha, 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 ha. It's very helpful. You laugh like that, you become healthy. You'll be cancer-free. Even doctors say that. When doctors say that, they with a gloomy face. Say, by the way, I tell you, you need to be joyful. You laugh a lot. You live a long life. Don't act like me. The doctor has so many burdens, so much burdens. The joy cell group, they're really happy. They love to be together. They devote to the fellowship. They devote to the Word of God. Third trait is the presence of God is real and tangible. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Wow, this is a phenomenon lack in the American church right now. Everybody is filled with complain. You say, everyone was filled with awe. The awe means the reverence, the fear of the Lord. A reverence about supernatural being. I think that's so important. They have the reverence fear there because everybody, you know, 3,000 people, they observe, wow, this people being healed, that person being cleansed, that person being changed. They realize the Lord is in their midst. Amen? Do we desire that? God is here. If God really is here, we have reverence for Him. Amen? We take this seriously. When you worship God, I shared with you last Sunday, almost two or three Sundays, I asked the Mandarin congregation, I say, how many of you have seen Jesus here? Oh, some people say, this is a tricky question. Only a few people raise their hand. And they, I see Jesus. No. You should see Jesus here with your spiritual eyes. Because we sing a lot of songs, right? Everything for you, Jesus. Oh, I want you, Jesus. What do we try to say? What do we try to do? It's just self-comforting. Talk to the air. We should say it. I want to invite an English congregation. From now on, when you worship, more expressive, engaged. I tell you, this is one of the best worship leaders. I tell you, the guy sit there, Ricky. he make beat, and that we need to be engaged. Amen. Irene is very good too. She sit there and play the keyboard, and Irene feel that one worship not enough. She usually join the second worship. I don't know what's her intention, okay? But she joined the second one. I believe she wants more. You can stay on to see the Mandarin service. You see how much they engage. There was a gentleman sit here. He always sit this chair. Whatever the song leader say, he would say, "Amen!" Well, people, ooh. Dear brother, sister, that's very important. We need to really desire God's presence. And when God's presence is here, we need to pay the reverence to Him. We welcome Him. And God is going to move in our midst. Dear brothers, that's very important. A joyful church is very attractive. Exciting about God. The church that really sends God's presence, excited about God, will be very attractive too. I think in that church, the God's presence is very tangible. You can see it. You can touch it. Fourthly, the church is full of Christ's love. This is amazing. It's getting better and better. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. You know, throughout the human history, a lot of idealists, a lot of people, thinkers, they always think about if one day the whole world, they can share their materials, they can love each other, they don't hurt each other, nobody lack anything, we remove the poverty, how wonderful that would be. That's throughout the human history. You go to study. That's the dream, utopian society. In Chinese, means the 大同世界. Dr. Sun Yixian always had a dream. You know, it's funny, I went to Maui for vacation. And one day, Marlene and I, we had an adventure to drive our car to along the coast. And we passed by a certain place. They say there's a Dr. Sun Yixian Memorial landmark there. So I stopped. I went in. They put his dream there. He put his blueprint about a new China. The wonderful thing is people will share the things. They love each other. They don't harm each other. They care for each other. Forgive me, I'm immigrants, okay? They care for each other. Right on that, when I saw that, I had the tears. And wow, this person, his dream has never come true. He already passed away for a long time. But that dream is still there, right? But here in Book of Acts chapter 2, that dream has been fulfilled. People will volunteer to do that. Isn't that wonderful? Because they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with God. They start to not think about themselves. They start to think about one another. I saw some of that in our church. I'm not trying to brag in for our church, but I saw some of that. And that's very precious. Fifthly, 世间大同. Yeah, you're right. We speak in tongue. Number five. The trace of the church is a happy family. Every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Every time I read this, I just can't believe my eyes. Can you imagine? They meet every day. They meet every day. How much can you handle a brother, sister? How many times a week? You only meet for a couple of hours. Sometimes you feel, I cannot stand this. They meet every day. They in the temple courts in people's house, they had meal together. And when you say we meet every day is one thing, but they meet every day together. They with a glad and sincere heart, they had the meal. They praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. It's unbelievable. They are happy people. Amen. I think a church is happy will be very attractive. Agree? I believe a lot of people start joining our church because they feel this place is a happy place. This place is full of love. I want to encourage you. Despite a lot of challenge, we do attract a lot of new people. In the last 4 months, we have about 40 visitors. Right now, the challenge is how we can minister to them. How can we shepherd them? Amen? Shall we come together to shepherd them? We take care of them. We don't let them just be strangers there. Nobody talk to them. This is very important. You know, our church front door is very big, but sometimes our back door is even wider. Do you know what I'm talking about? People just come in and walk out immediately. That's all the minister we are gathering once a week. We pray, we talk about this. So I think it's wonderful we see this church. They are so joyful. May I ask you why this first church, people there were so joyful? Not talk about God's presence, just practically, why they are joyful. Why a person come to church will be joyful? Can you tell me? Yes, because the person come to church, the person will receive love. He will be happy. He will be fed. Her lunch the first time is free. Only first time. They'll be well fed, right? Look at the first church. They love each other. They sold their property, possession. Nobody lacked anything. So they've been loved. They've been nurtured, be careful. So they love to be together every day so they can be loved every day. Do you see? Very simple. It's not because they are spiritual. Oh, I love to read the word, so I come every day. No, they love to be loved. Amen? We all know people need love, but how many of us can love people? We all receive love. We all need the love, right? The person fulfilled with God can love. And finally, it's amazing growth. I think that's what will be byproduct. And the Lord add to their number daily those who were being saved. When a church with that traits, people will join them. I think our goal is not to grow the number of church. Our goal is to grow the quality, the reality of Jesus Christ in our midst. Amen? If we grow Jesus in our midst, people will add to us. You even cannot stop them. Amen? We will see many people will come even 9:15, 9 o'clock, they are already there. If we start to grow church in each individual's life, so what should we do? You know, Jerusalem church is the first church in human history. It's a product of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. It grows so fast and so influential. You know, about 2 years ago, we moved this church. It's a miracle. We searching for building for 7 months, had nothing really available. We have few potential place. It didn't work out. But this place, in 7 days, we got this place. But of course, the next year is a challenging how to operate this place. Also, our budget is challenging too. You go to read a financial report, you'll find out that. However, I want to encourage you, dear brother and sister, hear what I say. Despite how much it cost, this place needs a glorious church. Sometimes it's very costly, expensive to build a glorious church in the not that glorious area. Understand that? If everybody leave, everybody abandons this place, I don't think that's God's will. Amen? You're not convinced. Amen? Let's come together to strive to build a glorious church like the first church. What should we do? There are two things. Number one, everyone needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By now, I think you're convinced. My message, say this again. It doesn't matter which denomination, what the people label you or you label yourself. Without the filling with the Holy Spirit, you can accomplish nothing. Because filling with the Holy Spirit is to fill with God himself. Amen? So you say, how can we do that? Number one, you need to desire. I always told you, if you love Jesus, you want to know Jesus more, you need to be filled with the Spirit. You need a desire. Can I ask you, what is desire? It's a longing. Did you have that experience? Sometimes you have the longing for certain kind of dessert or food, right? Very strong. Oh, no, you don't point at me. I don't have desire for that. Did you have the desire sometimes so strongly for certain food, for certain product? Did you? When you had that desire, what will you do? What did you do? You go for it, right? You go for it. No matter how long to drive, how far away, you go for it. So number one, we pray that you have the desire to be filled with God himself, the Holy Spirit. Number two is the cleansing and emptying. Right, I don't think I used this. I don't know, I used this example with it. I still didn't bring my cup. Like this vase, right? If we want to fill with the thing, I had to take out that flower. I had to take empty everything in there to be filled with the water. If this vessel represents our life, we need to cleanse and empty it before the Holy Spirit can fill us. Amen? I think of the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Say, the apostle will say, don't be filled with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Over there, we are in the passive position to be filled. In other words, the Holy Spirit is ready to fill you. But are you ready to be filled? We need to ask the Lord to cleanse us and empty our a lot of garbage in us. Number three, surrender every ruin of your life to Christ's Lordship. Yield yourself to Him. Fourthly, ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. By prayer, you pray and ask Him to fill you. When you pray and ask Him to fill you, He will show you a lot of things inside hinder Him to fill you. It's simple like that. You interact with Him. Fifthly, you know, receive Him by faith. You don't need to copy other people's experience. Amen? A person being filled, they fall, you don't fall. That's fine. It's okay. You just receive. You do the work. And second thing we can do to build a spirit-filled, glorious church is dedicate to the foundational things. I think this is very important. There are some foundational things. Number one, if we dedicate to the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, you need to read the Word regularly. Meditate on that. Secondly, is the Holy Spirit. We dedicate to be filled with Him. We know He will work. He will minister to us about Jesus. Number three is cell group or discipleship triads. We need to commit to that. I think an English group commit to that very well. I don't need to say much. Number four is a prayer culture. You don't dedicate yourself to prayer meeting only. It's a prayer culture. It's a prayer lifestyle. You will pray about everything before you do it. It's a culture. And finally, is a faith in Christ's redemption. Jesus Christ alone. That's very crucial. May the Lord help us. We will experience the reality of power of the Holy Spirit in the coming days and months. I know we invite you for 40 days for that fast and prayer. Do you know how many days do we still have between now and October 4th? 20 days. Even only 20 days left. I encourage you to join them. You say, Pastor Joseph, I cannot help. You know, every time I'm so hungry, I ate. It's okay. The point is not fast on food. The point is to commit to seek the Lord. 20 days. You start seek the Lord 20 days. You repent. You ask to be filled with the Spirit. The Lord will grant you. I already see that sign. I encourage you today, don't lose heart. Let's move forward together. Please rise, we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your word has been proclaimed. We believe will bear fruits in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We conclude our worship here.